What's going on, Zaynah here, just back for another little episode of What You Know, going solo right now without my co-host, and I got a new microphone that I'm still trying to figure out. It actually is slightly less low budget, coming in at $100, and I haven't quite figured out how to work it just yet, so I don't know, this might sound good, it might sound like absolute crap, but as I always say, you know, low budget, low know-how, unedited, unscripted, and I'm gonna keep this short. You know, earlier today, Harris and I put out my co-host, Harris, who is, you know, like, nearest and dearest to my heart in terms of friends and just a wonderful person, and we see eye to eye on a lot of things, and on a lot of things we don't. And like we tried to illustrate today when we were recording and filming at Garrison Park here in Austin, that's okay. That should be okay. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that. We should embrace that. We should want that. That should be something that we strive for. But one of the things that we discussed is that, you know, we lean towards libertarianism. So I'm going to speak for myself in terms of what I put myself out there to be is kind of a blend of libertarian and conservative. So I'm libertarian-minded in a lot of ways, and conservative in a lot of ways. I don't believe that you can put any one person in just one box. I know that that's kind of the popular thing to do in society. I don't, you know if it's always been that way, or if that's a recent development, but it's definitely the way that it is now, and I suspect it's been that way for some time, and it's just amplified now with the presence of social media and everything. But reading a definition of libertarianism, I just pulled the first thing up. I really would get my information from the Cato Institute, but this is, I typed in libertarianism. The first thing that came up was a page from Stanford University, first published on September 5, 2002, and a substantive revision was made on Monday, January 28th of 2019. I'm just going to read you the first paragraph here. Libertarianism is a family of views in political philosophy. Libertarians strongly value individual freedom and see this as justifying strong protections for individual freedom. I'm with you so far. Thus, libertarians insist that justice poses stringent limits to coercion. While people can be justifiably forced to do certain things, most obviously to refrain from violating the rights of others, they cannot be coerced to serve the overall good of society. That's where I don't agree. Continuing, or even their own personal good. That's a ridiculous assertion, in my opinion. As a result, libertarians endorse strong rights to individual liberty and private property, defend civil liberties like equal rights for homosexuals, endorse drug decriminalization, open borders, and oppose most military interventions. So let's kind of stop and take that first paragraph apart a little bit. And I will read each sentence and tell you where I lean libertarian and then where I lean conservative. And that's just me being nice. I also want to say that this is some of this is just garbage that, anyway. But, you know, this is written by someone at Stanford. Thus, Stanford is an Ivy League or close to an Ivy League school, I forget which, and therefore it's got to be right. Right? No, wrong. Just because you hear something from somebody smart does not make it right. And but anyway, I will give them credit that they say that it's a family of views and political philosophy. Libertarianism encompasses a lot of things. So let's go through. True, libertarianism is a family of views and political philosophy. That's true. Libertarians strongly value individual freedom and see this as justifying strong protection for individual freedom. Check. True. Thus, libertarians insist that justice poses stringent limits to coercion. True. And when we're talking about this, just to be clear, I'm not talking, I'm interpreting that to mean a lot of, like, the, you know, just the overreach of the federal government, things like that, what they can make you do, regulations, regulatory requirements, the bureaucratic nightmare of the nanny state, that I consider coercion. While people can be justifiably forced to do certain things, they cannot be coerced to serve the overall good of society or even their own personal good. I reject that. As a result, libertarians endorse strong rights to individual liberty, correct, to private property, correct, those are also conversely conservative views as well, defend civil liberties like equal rights for homosexuals, check, as a conservative slash libertarian, I divide people into two categories, as I said, and as Dennis Prager is really his words, I agree with him. Decent and indecent. Endorse drug decriminalization. I agree with that. What people put into their bodies is their own choice. I also believe that the prohibition has led to a war, the quote-unquote war on drugs, and has led to a lot of the ills in society we have now. Even as a conservative, and I know lots of conservatives that don't love it, but agree that people need to be left to their own devices. As a conservative, if you believe in self-reliance, standing on your own two feet, and succeeding and or failing on your own, then you have to you have to understand that that comports with drug decriminalization or legalization. Open borders. Wrong. As a libertarian, I absolutely don't believe that. I believe in sovereignty. I guess that's a conservative side of me. And oppose most military interventions. As a conservative, I believe in the projection of American power. I don't believe in American adventurism. Now, just because I don't believe in American adventurism doesn't mean that I don't believe that America shouldn't be the overall force of good in the world, or, you know, maintaining order in the world. I am not naive. I spent most of my 20s rejecting a lot of that belief. And I understand the tragic cost of and the corruption involved with our interventions in places around the world, and you know, there's too many to name. On the other hand, you know, as much as I don't like the man, there was an interview that Donald Rumsfeld gave probably in the late 70s or early 80s when he said, we have to decide. We have to take a hard look at our future and decide who we want, you know, leading in the world. Do we want it to be us, or do we want it to be someone else? I think that from the conservative point of view, and even for a lot of libertarians that are reasonable and don't have their heads in the clouds, you would say you want that leadership to come from us. Okay? Because despite the many mistakes that we've made, I am an unabashed supporter of our military. I'm not a supporter always of the way our intelligence community, actually in almost all cases, in the way our intelligence community treats our military and uses our military for projection of power in the world. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that we should be projecting power in the world. We need to be. The manner in which we do it is not going to look anything like when China is projecting power into the world. Now, libertarians and conservatives have some things in common. At the end of the day, to me, what libertarianism means is that government gets out of your life. Now, there's going to be many tenets of libertarianism and of conservatism that don't strike a chord with me. But here's the core, here's where I stand at the end of the day. I believe that this union has to stay together. I believe that the ruling elite, those in control of everything, really, and we can make a whole episode of that another time, the movers and shakers, the people who are not standing behind podiums, the people who select candidates. You know, George Soros is just a name that you know. George Soros is, there's people even up above him. But I believe that the American ideal of you know, the Constitution, particularly the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, are of inestimable importance. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Those three documents in and of themselves. And then, of course, you know, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. I'm not saying the other ones don't count. 13th, 14th, and 15th are really important. But those ideas are, to me, worth dying for. They protect our sovereignty. They protect us as individuals. This is not a democracy. It's not a system designed for mob rule, which is what the left wants. And I got a little sidetracked. It's been a long day. As I said earlier, I'm really ADD, and I'm still trying to figure out some of this new tech that I got. I don't know a thing about what I'm doing, but as we go, we will learn. Because I want to talk to people. I want to get out there, and I want to talk to people. I want to interview people off of Twitter that have similar viewpoints, that have radically different viewpoints. I want to do that. I think that that's really important. I see the ruling elite using the Democratic Party to kind of, I call it the left door. They've snuck in through the left door, and they are using the Democratic Party to usher in a Marxist takeover. That's at its core, that's what's happening. One area where, you know, I wouldn't say Harris and I disagree, really. I mean, when you rip it down to the studs, we're in agreement. But I, you know, Harris said, you know, I took my kids to the Black Lives Matter, you know, protest. And keep in mind, Harris agrees with me that the organization itself is a Marxist Bolshevist organization, but Harris took the kids there to show them, you know, what to stand shoulder to shoulder with people, and to show them, you know, that you don't have to kowtow to cops. Well, I get that. I don't want the militarization of our police, but I also believe that unless you're going to be able to defend yourself, which most people cannot, I have everything that I need in my home and the know-how, at least if I'm here, to defend and stand my ground. But most people don't believe in that anymore. They've lost that ideal, and so we you know, I'm more inclined to believe in elected sheriffs and their deputies, because they can be held more to account. But I am a supporter of law enforcement, and I don't think that they require you kowtow to them, and I think that defunding them is a horrifying idea. Now, demilitarizing them is where we need to be. You see, the idea of a military is to destroy your enemy completely. And I support creating and sustaining a military that's able to do that, particularly against our most, in my opinion, our fiercest enemy right now, which is the Chinese Communist government, not the people of China, but the Chinese Communist government. I'm absolutely all for that. I do not want our local law enforcement to be militarized. I don't. But that doesn't mean defunding them. That means getting back to actual community policing, and letting the police do their jobs, you know? Simply taking away money, demonizing them, calling them all racists, questioning every move they make, putting them under this unbelievable microscope, that's not holding them accountable. That's just terrorizing an entire profession of people that we then rely upon. You know, who was it, Alyssa Milano, that called the police the other day, and, like, you know, all kinds of different units showed up. This is someone who has been raging against the police. Defund the police. They're all racist. They're all white supremacists. They're all pigs, blah, blah, blah. At the drop of a dime, she was ready and did call the police, and an immense amount of resources were expended on, you know, making sure that her, you know, multi-million dollar home was secure. And it turned out that it was a kiddo in the neighborhood who'd popped off an air gun or something like that. And then when he realized all the fuss that was happening over it, and he turned himself in. But my point is, and I could be wrong, but I think that this was in like broad daylight, but I could be totally wrong about that. My point is that she was incredibly quick to call the same people she was assailing. We need police officers to be able to protect our communities, to de-escalate situations. And for the record, I think that in large part they do that. I don't know that, but based on the little bit, I don't know that like firsthand, that is. I don't know what police training looks like. I know we can do a better job. I'm all for reform, but I'm not for, you know, essentially kneecapping them. Let's be clear about that. Unless people are prepared to defend themselves in their homes the way that the Constitution allows us to, and to defend ourselves against the encroachment of a tyrannical government, which is happening very quickly. That's why you see even people on the left, you know, arming up where they weren't before. Unless people are prepared to do that, then they need to take a more measured approach to this police situation. But at the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road for Antifa, for BLM, that's not what any of this is about. And I maintain and repeat my challenge from earlier to, you know, Sean King and Patrice Kohler's, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the names, and the other leaders in the Black Lives Matter official organization. You know, I donated money to Laverne, I forget her last name, she's running in Florida's, what, 24th District, or I forget, Kim Klasek in Baltimore. I've donated money to them because they get it. They get it. And they don't endorse Black Lives Matter. A lot of black people don't. And they don't support it because they see that it's not an organization that really has any actual connection to racial justice, to bridging the gap, to social healing, to raising communities up, to investing in dilapidated, crime-laden communities. That I want. So basically, I'll step back. I want BLM to show me examples where they have poured the mass, even a fraction of the massive amounts of money they've been given, into communities in need. Show me where that money is gone. Show me how you've helped out the black community. Are there scholarship funds for kids? Are there tutors? Are you pouring money into businesses, business startups for those who are interested in starting businesses in their communities? Are you pouring money into the revitalization of certain communities? Are you pouring money? I don't think they're doing any of those things, but they darn sure are making a stir over police shootings, of which it is turning out that many of them are justified, and it doesn't make it less tragic that someone got, you know, shot. But this whole celebration of Jacob Blake, who, you know, and maybe he's guilty, maybe he's not, right? How do I know? I don't. You know, Officer Tatum was talking about it on his channel. He went through his list of past crimes. Does any of that mean that someone deserves to get shot and not walk? No. But this man had forced his fingers, reportedly, into a woman's vagina and then held it under her nose, pulled his fingers out of her vagina, held those fingers under the woman's nose and said, "Smells like you've been with other guys." And then she calls the police, as she should. And, you know, what ended up transpired because he resisted, he gave them a hard time, this, that, and the other thing. On its face, looks real bad, but they're using every little example of a situation gone wrong, of which in a country of 320, 30 million people, you can find plenty of all races and ethnicities and backgrounds and all different circumstances, to inflame people. The ridiculousness behind the George Floyd episode, where he had four funerals, was buried in a gold casket. You know, Candace Owens, I'm not going to repeat all of it because Candace Owens, people of the like, have already really eloquently laid this out. The ridiculousness of it doesn't mean that it's okay that he died. But the man did not lead an entirely righteous life at least not so much so that, you know, during a time when no one else could even get into hospitals to see their dying loved ones, they're having big, massive public funerals where they're burying him in a golden casket, and people are marching and destroying and burning things down with impunity. They get a pass. So what this is about is destroying communities. What this movement is about is disrupting, and they said that, disrupting communities, disrupting the norm, disrupting the system. They do that with language, they do that with this false narrative. So, you know, I mean, as a conservative, what I want most, conservative/libertarian, is I want an accountable sheriff's department, I want communities that are self-sufficient and able to take care of themselves. I want families to be left alone. I want a lot of the government institutions to be eradicated. I want far less spending and an elimination of the central bank and a new monetary system that's in the hands of the people. And I don't want an elimination of currency. There's a lot of things that I want. But what we're getting at the end of the day here, and like I said, I'm just an average guy navigating all this. I'm not a genius. I'm just a regular dude making observations, and I want to talk to people because this stuff is starting to find its way directly into my world. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. It's coming right into your neighborhood. You've got protesters marching down neighborhoods screaming, "Get out of your house." You know, it's insane, burning down buildings, burning down churches, burning down precincts, changing the names of monuments. This is all stuff that communists do. What I want is a restoration of very basic American values. That is that people have equality of opportunity to pursue their own destiny and fail or succeed on their own accord, with the help of nobody but the people in their life, the connections that they make. I want government all but out of our lives. And that's how I feel about all of that. So then the question becomes where, I guess, and a lot of me just blathering right now has to do with me testing out my new microphone, which I'm messing with and assuming it's not working as well as I would like. But anyway, the question becomes, where are we headed? And to me, it seems very, very, very clear. And I will put together a well-planned-out episode another time for this. Maybe Harris and I can discuss it. But if you've ever read Brave New World, if you've ever read The Giver, if you've ever read 1984, that's exactly where we are headed. You only have to look to China and their social crediting system and the manner in which they control their population to see where we're headed. But first, before we get there, they have to burn everything down. So that's what these movements are about. They're not about helping anybody. They're not about justice. They're not about equality. That's what they're telling you. But it's got nothing to do with that. Not a little. Not at all. Okay. What they're going for is a perfect society where everybody has, you know, I watched The Giver with not nearly as good as the book, the movie, that is, but it's okay. I mean, Jeff Bridges is in there, Meryl Streep, both those individuals are predictably outstanding, of course. But I think that speaks a lot to where we're going as a people. Okay, and if you don't know The Giver, So let me put it this way. The Brave New World is the society where we're all controlled through pleasure, sort of. We're distracted. There's the family unit is destroyed. It's loveless. It's emotionless. And everyone is medicated heavily. So in a way, you could say they're controlling you through pleasure and lies. In Brave New World, it's the same thing, except for it's done through pain and punishment and, you know, constant surveillance and everything like that. I look at a book like The Giver or the movie like The Giver, and I see a combination of those two. I don't think it'll be just strictly Brave New World, and I don't think it'll be strictly 1984 style utopia that they're moving us towards. First of all, it's going to be communist socialist type situation. And I do believe that taking the long view, looking 100 years down the line, if we're even here, the society that they see is one where, much like in a lot of these movies, that are fun to watch, but people don't imagine they could possibly be real, like Divergent, things like that, where, people are in factions. Well, in The Giver, we'll just take the movie for example. In The Giver, everybody is assigned a job. Babies are bred by geneticists and the birth mothers, which is also an assigned job, breed the kids, so they're like little incubators, and they're assigned to families. They are injected daily with a serum that removes emotions, and they change language. Where does that sound familiar, right? They change language. They call it precision of language. There's certain things you can't say, and you're taught them as what they call new children. They created, in essence, sameness. They eliminated jealousy, hatred, envy, but they also eliminated music. They eliminated art. They eliminated expression. They eliminated love. They eliminated all the amazing, wonderful, just purely incredible things that make being a human worth the ride. And they also eliminated war and famine and crime and things like that. Except for the crime of, what do they call it there? Another example of manipulating the language. When they euthanize people and kill them, they call it being released to elsewhere, which I think that's really, I love that. They're just gonna release your right to elsewhere. When BLM takes over, really what's behind them, which is a Marxist force at work, takes over the nation. They're just going to release so many of us to elsewhere. And interestingly, they're going to also do that to the people who are out on the streets marching, and so it kills me because that's the direction that we're headed. And as a libertarian slash conservative, I see a solution to that problem. All we really need to do, Catherine Austin Fitz talks about it. What does she say? She says, we got to start at the county. It's going to be a county by county type fight. Take over your school boards, get elected to them, elect a constitutional, good, law-abiding, rule of law respecting sheriffs, and make sure that they hold their deputies to account. Start at the local level and work our way up. We got to educate people. That's how we're going to counter this. But the problem is that the narrative is designed to be so divisive, so corrosive, that it's really taken root because one thing that they know, there's a line in The Giver at the end of the movie where Meryl Streep, her character, she's the chief elder, and Jeff Bridges, his character, who's the giver, the old receiver, giver of memory, and he's making the case for bringing it all back, for bringing back humanity, for understanding that we can make better choices, for understanding that there's this just incredible possibility, raw possibility when you factor in love. And he said, we can choose better. And she looks at him and she says, people are weak and people are emotional. And when people are left to choose, they choose wrong every single time. And there's something to be said for that, I suppose. You can see the argument on both sides, but that's at the core of how they're looking at this. And a lot of people will be, will accept, just give me my monthly allowance, my monthly credit, give me my little pod, and I'm happier than a pig in poop, and I will just, live out my days. And then there's I believe a much larger constituency of us that want to live life on our terms, as long as we're not hurting anybody. We want to experience, we want to be able to move, we want to have transactions with people, we want to have relationships, we don't want technology implanted in our bodies, we want to be the masters of technology, not have technology be the masters of us. We want so many different things, and you know, they all fall under the auspices of freedom, but that's not what they have in store for us. So whether this election is really determining that or it's a ruse, I don't know. You know, like I said to Harris after the recording today, we were pulling out of the park, and I said, you know, I spend, you know, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. going, you know, maybe Harris is right, maybe it's all scripted, maybe. And then, you know, from 10 to whatever, I go, no, you know, the elites have a foothold, but our system is still salvageable, it still works. Trump is on our side. You know, he's not perfect. He has constraints because of the, you know, the powerful entities that he's working against, but you know, it's better that he win. I'm just a regular guy. There's no way for me to know. What I do know is this: what we're seeing is a takeover. There can be no doubt about it. Where it comes from and who's driving it, it's hard to say. Like, you know, Brett Weinstein and Dr. Henning, I always mispronounce her name, were saying one time, you know, she said, you know, we have to figure out where this narrative is coming from, who's pumping it out, because make no mistake, whether it's this transgenderism, transhumanism, and I'm not saying that I'm against transgender people. What I'm saying is that they've popularized it, and, you know, I believe pushing that on your, you know, five-year-old is child abuse. You let people decide things for themselves. You know, saying, arguing that there's no such thing as real biology, arguing the critical race theory and critical theory in general, which basically, you know, I mean, to these people, and I'm not joking here, you can check on this, there's, I mean, literally, they are saying that math and science is white supremacy. Like, all of this change of the language, all of it, is designed to take us over. And what Heather's saying is, you got to find out who's pumping out that narrative, where it's really coming from. And what she also said is that, you know, she's like, I don't even believe that whoever is pumping it out actually believes that themselves. They know it's not true. But again, going back to that line in the movie The Giver, people are weak, emotional, and when they're left to choose, will choose wrong every time. I don't necessarily believe that's all true, but I'll end on this. I believe it's partially true. What's being done now in terms of the emotional manipulation of Americans is a crime against humanity. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to lose everything, and we're going to lose everything really soon. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Hopefully next time I will have figured out this mic much better, and everyone have a safe night. Thank you.